Sunday night supper is whatever's left from noon. If nothing's left over, Ma takes cold cornmeal mush, fries up big slabs, and we eat it with Karo syrup. But this night, there's still rabbit. I don't want any, but I know Shiloh does. I wonder how long I can keep pushing that piece of rabbit around my plate. Not very long, I discover.
You gonna eat that meat, or you just playing with it? Dad asks. If you don't want it, I'll take it for lunch tomorrow.
I'll eat it, I say. Don't you be giving it to that dog, says Ma. I take a tiny bite. What's the doggie gonna eat, then? Asks Becky. She's 3, which is 4 years younger than Dara Lynn. Nothing here, that's what, says Ma. Becky and Dara Lynn look at Dad. Now I had them feeling sorry for the beagle, too. Sometimes girl children get what they want easier than I do. But not this time.
Dog's going right back across the river when we get through eating, says Dad. If that's Judge's new dog, he probably don't have sense enough yet to find his way home again. We'll put him in the jeep and drive him over.
Don't know what else I figured Dad to say. Do I really think he's going to tell me to wait till morning, and if the beagle's still here, we can keep him? I try all kinds of ways to figure how I could get that rabbit meat off my plate and into my pocket. But Ma's watching every move I make. So I excuse myself and go outside and over to the chicken coop. It's off toward the back where Ma can't see. We keep 3 hens, and I take one of the 2 eggs that was in a nest and carry it out behind the bushes. I whistle softly. Shiloh comes loping toward me. I crack the egg and empty it out in my hands, hold my hands down low, and Shiloh eats the egg, licking my hands clean afterward, then curling his tongue down between my fingers to get every little bit. Good boy, Shiloh, I whisper and stroke him all over. I hear the back screen slam, and Dad comes out on the stoop.
Marty?
Yeah, I go around, Shiloh at my heels.
Let's take that dog home now.
Dad goes over and opens the door of the jeep. Shiloh puts his tail between his legs and just stands there. So I go around to the other side, get in, and whistle. Shiloh leaps up onto my lap, but he don't look too happy about it. For the first time, I have my arms around him. He feels warm, and when I stroke him, I can feel places on his body where he has ticks. Dog has ticks, I tell my dad.
Judd'll take them off, Dad says.
What if he don't?
It's his concern, Marty, not yours. It's not your dog. You keep to your own business.
I press myself against the back of the seat as we start down our bumpy dirt driveway toward the road. I want to be a vet someday, I tell my dad. He says. I want to be a traveling vet. The kind that has his office in a van and goes around to people's homes. Don't make folks come to him. Read about it in a magazine at school.
You know what you have to do to be a vet, Dad asks.
Gotta go to school, I know that.
You've gotta have college training, like a doctor almost. Takes a lot of money to go to veterinary school.
My dream sort of leaks out like water in a paper bag. I could be a veterinarian's helper, I suggest, my second choice.
You maybe could, says Dad, and points the jeep up the road into the hills.
Dusk is settling in now. Still warm, though. A warm July night. Trees look dark against the red sky. Lights coming on in a house here, another one there. I'm thinking how in any one of these houses, there's probably somebody who would take better care of Shiloh than Judd Travers would. How come this dog had to be his?